listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The new Cleveland Browns draft picks are in. See them in action at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium at the best prices by securing your Cleveland Browns season tickets today. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. Vic Carucci with Nathan Zagura. Nathan on assignment just briefly or temporarily during the course of the show. We'll have him back on with us in our normal lineup here on a Football Friday. Meanwhile, 216-578-0850, we want to hear from you. We are hearing from you. I know lines are filling up, and we'll get to those calls. Also, you can tweet us at Browns_daily, and we'll get into your tweets. Doug Deacon coming up at the top of the hour, 2 p.m., and then at 2:45, it'll be our Friday forecast with lots of topics to cover. Lots to go through, as we mentioned at the top of the show, the Johnny Manziel text that Dowell Loggins, the quarterback's coach for the Browns, referenced on an Arkansas radio station that blew things up this morning, locally, nationally. Greg Little being released by the Browns. No shock whatsoever there. Nathan Zagura and I in our ranking of roster, the 1 through 53 that we did long before the draft, really at the end of the season, we had him as our 53rd guy. We had him right at the bottom. I think I got some pushback on that. I know on social media, and maybe those people still disagree, but anyone I had in that bottom portion, the majority of the players that we both had down there, not with this team anymore as they've moved forward. And then Miles Austin and Earl Bennett come aboard, so you have to make room for those guys. All right, let's get to Dino in his car. Hello, Dino.
Hey, Vic, how you doing? Great show today. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, sir.
Listen, I was listening to Tony Rizzo this morning.
Right.
They're talking about that episode with Jimmy Haslam and all that. And, I mean, this is kind of be tabloid stuff. It's ridiculous. The guy hasn't even thrown a pass. He hasn't even taken a snap in the NFL yet, and they're making him like the second coming of a quarterback. I'm all in favor of Johnny Manziel. I'm not against the kid. He's a Brown. But he has to prove himself. There's still another quarterback out there called Brian Hoyer.
Right.
Let this play out. This man has to earn. If he wants my respect, he's going to have to win games. That's the bottom line for me to have Johnny Mania. And that's how it's supposed to be. They're making him out to be like he's some kind of second coming of the quarterback. And he simply is not at that level yet.
Right.
They say that about Colt McCoy when they were all ravaging about how well Colt McCoy did in college.
Yeah, there's a laundry list of quarterbacks who have gotten touted out of the collegiate level who didn't make it in the NFL. And Dino, thank you for that call and that perspective. Here's the thing, Dino. I think it'll become easy for, and this I don't agree with, for those who hate the hype and for those who, like you, are offended by the notion that those in media, that those who do what we do, who are on radio talk shows or write or whatever, TV, give you that sort of he can walk on water presence and tout him and express their passion for him in ways that are unrealistic. Okay, it's a perspective thing. But that's not Johnny Manziel's fault. That is something that is coming, that's generated by exuberance, by media that has obviously, like the rest of us, just gotten frustrated and upset over years and years of watching losing football, of watching bad quarterbacking, of watching boring offenses, all of that. So he embodies the hope there, but don't confuse the hope with Johnny Manziel coming in with the idea that he's got to be the guy and that this is his show. I want confidence. I want the swagger. I want it from anyone at that position. It's been missing far too long in any of the quarterbacks recently that I've dealt with since being part of the Browns. I do see the potential difference in him, but like you, Dino, and like everyone else, show it on the field. I think Johnny Manziel understands that about as well as anyone could. He's not the one making declarations about himself. This is what you're referring to is, and that you don't like and are offended by, is happening by others. So let's not just confuse those two and put it on the kid. It ramps up the pressure on him, but it doesn't, it's not something he's generating. So Is Nathan back with us?
Notorious.
All right.
I'm back.
There you are.
I'm back. Yeah, just actually.
Don't leave me like that.
I'm sorry. I got a chance to sit down with Pierre Desir,
yes,
the new cornerback of the Browns, for a piece that will air on the Rookie Spotlight show that will air on WKYC here in Cleveland, I believe,
awesome,
on May 24th at either 7 or 8 o'clock. Check the timing on that. But absolutely an awesome guy. What a story. And I'm excited for everybody to see that. It was a great sit-down interview, and he really has quite the tale to tell on how we got to the NFL and got to this point. Amazing.
Cool. Well, we're going through some calls here, and we got a lot of them, as you can imagine, my friend. And let's keep rolling. Let's go now to Oliver in Shaker Heights. Hello, Oliver.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So I just wanted to talk about how like I agreed with you in your 53-man roster last year, your ranking, I thought that Greg Little didn't do much and wasn't going to offer much, but I was excited to see what a guy like Nate Burleson, like a veteran presence to a supposed, like, knucklehead guy, what that could have done for him, and what that could have done for Josh Gordon off the field. Clearly, we're not sure how that's going, but I just think it's going to be tough that a veteran guy like that won't be able to really impact two young, maybe talented, in Greg Little's case, receivers. I don't know. It's my take.
You know, you got a lot of veterans coming in here now, and Ray Farmer's not done. I think you'll see some more veterans come in here this offseason as the Browns really look to give everybody a chance to compete and earn some playing time at wide receiver for a team that might need it. And Greg Little last year, we had him, as Vic said, 53 out of 53 on our ranking here on CBD. And at the time, we took some flack for it, but a lot of people, you know, understood the statement we were trying to make and how disappointing he was. 0.7 yards per route run last year, the second worst figure in the 6 years that Pro Football Focus has been tracking that stat. Nearly half a yard worse than the next lowest receiver this season, who played 50% of his team's snaps. So, I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. Last in the league in yards per target, last in the league in catch rate. He didn't step up. He had an opportunity last year working opposite Josh Gordon to show what he could do, because he saw nothing but single coverage all year. He didn't thrive. You know, you get the feeling that because a move like this was made with a guy that physically, it would seem, has some talent, that maybe he was not the most well-thought-of guy by the management in terms of his off-the-field presence or locker room presence. So, listen, I think around here, it's considered addition by subtraction, and it's a shame that Greg Little didn't realize his potential here, and maybe he'll go on, and hopefully maybe it's a wake-up call for him, and he will be able to realize that somewhere else. But, again, no longer a member of the Cleveland Browns. Miles Austin is, Earl Bennett is, and I don't think the team's done in terms of adding competent, capable veteran receivers that they think can compete to help this team with the potential suspension of Josh Gordon looming.
No, I think Ray Farmer is staying true. I know he's staying true to exactly what he talked about. This was not Ray Farmer or anyone else falling asleep at the switch on the receiver position. That notion is, you want to talk about ridiculous notions, that one is up there on the list. The idea that the Browns truly missed something by not addressing this position in the second round, and that was going to solve all their problems. I'd much rather see it go this way, where you've got some experience, where you can at least call upon something where people can hit the ground running, versus the development of a player on a team. I mean, you're going to have to develop some people. There are going to be multiple rookies in this lineup, no question about it. And you live with their growing pains. That's going to hurt at times. You just can't avoid that. But I think where you can avoid in some places, like your whatever you can get out of your passing game with a run-oriented offense, setting things up, and maybe minimizing the pressure regardless of who the quarterback is on that guy to carry things, having reliable people like Miles Austin, like Earl Bennett, who have been there, who have done it, who have seen it, and that, I think, is huge. Jim in Wadsworth joins us now. Hello, Jim. Jim, you there? You wanted to talk Miles Austin? I guess
Miles Austin, Mike, literally and... just one of the perks of being in the Dog Bowl. Miles Austin literally just walked by
Jim's with us.
Berea. Looking good. Looking like he's ready to get out there.
Jim, you're with us now. Hey, bud.
Okay, how you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, I'm not sure if the getting rid of Greg Little is a slam dunk no-brainer that you're talking about. I mean, I love Miles Austin. I follow the Cowboys, and I watched him succeed there. But I also watched him struggle with quite a few injuries, as far as especially his hamstrings. And I didn't see them, you know, acquire a lot of 6'2" plus wide receivers in the offseason.
Okay. Well,
Greg Little had every opportunity to make himself a valuable part of this team and didn't do so. And really, I think ultimately it comes down to, that's on him. The way that he played last year, I think that was on him. They do have Charles Johnson is 6'2", Miles Austin is 6'2". So they do have some guys with some size who have been brought into this team. And there was some interesting thing I wanted to point out, because one of the things with Miles Austin is the if. Can Miles Austin stay healthy? If he stays healthy, Miles Austin can certainly be a very nice contributor to this team. One thing that the Browns trainer, Joe Sheehan, is excellent at are hamstrings. If you were to go back on the Browns injury report, the first time a player on the Cleveland Browns in 2013 was listed on the injury report with a hamstring injury was week 11, and that was Marquise Gray. Marquise Gray was still on that list in week 13. Through week 13, he was the only player through that part of the season to have a hamstring injury on this entire team. They feel that they have a protocol here in place that is specifically great when it comes to hamstring injuries, and to have one player in an entire NFL season show up on your injury report with a hamstring injury. It was just Marquise Gray one time last year, only one. Maybe there is something to that. Maybe they do have some type of sweet science we don't know about that can help keep Miles Austin on the field. But I just thought that was an interesting stat or factoid to put out there, because that has been his injury issue. It's been the hamstrings. And only once, again, I'll reiterate, one time was a Cleveland Brown player on the injury report all year with a hamstring injury.
Yeah, no, that's significant. And I do think the Browns have done a pretty good job for the most part, especially in that area. At the same time, injuries at the quarterback position, at other places, I mean, maybe some of them you could just say, hey, they're unavoidable, however they happen, but injuries did occur.
Of course injuries happen.
And that's not – no, and I'm not necessarily sure if we can attribute that. You know, we'll give Joe Sheehan and the training staff high marks for one thing. Is the other part their fault? No, we're not saying that either. In praising him for that, we're not saying that the injuries that did occur – are on necessarily on him or the protocol of even strength and conditioning. But I'll tell you, this stamina was a problem for this defense, and that's something that's clearly changed too. There's a new strength and conditioning coach in place that came aboard with the new coaching staff. That's kind of a typical change that'll happen. Want more of your calls at 216-578-0850. Want more of your tweets at Browns_daily. This is CBD. He's Nathan Segura. I'm Vic Carucci, and we're rolling along on a Football Friday.